Recent poll by Fairleigh Dickinson University Public Mind showed that, believe it or not, more people in New Jersey want to see marijuana legalized for what's considered to be quote-unquote recreational use. Never really heard any finite measurement of what that is, but they want to see that more than they want to see sports betting made legal in the state. Many proponents point to medical marijuana and how a greater legalization would free that side of the equation from what they see are various limitations. My next guest is here to complete this picture with the pieces that marijuana legalization proponents too often tend to ignore. He is the director of Nova's Medical Detox. We say good morning to Kent Runyon. Good morning, Kent.
Good morning. Thank you for having me on.
And the website is, of course, the obvious, novasdetox.com. And you know, in the conversations or debate when the idea of legalizing marijuana comes up, it seems like that's at least to me appears to be what the proponents seem to latch on, and they try to say, well, look, medical marijuana is doing all this great stuff here for people who have dire illnesses and pain and needs, so why not just open, instead of opening the barn doors, just tear down the barn and everyone gets in?
It certainly seems like an easy solution, but you know, the message that we're trying to get out is there are consequences to legalization and increased access to marijuana.
Looking at some of the stats too, and this is some information that that you supplied. You know, people talk about the dangers created by driving while intoxicated, intoxication of alcohol, and the younger, older, all ages in between. Seems that driving under the influence of marijuana creates a higher than certainly desired risk on the roads.
Yeah, there's, and I would encourage people to do their own research. There's some research coming out of the British Medical Journal where they reviewed, I believe, nine studies, did a meta-analysis of nine studies that found that marijuana use by drivers is associated with significantly increased risk of being involved in motor vehicle crashes. And specifically what they talked about is that, you know, the intoxication that goes along with marijuana not only can impact someone, you know, that euphoria, that anxiety, sometimes the paranoia, and whatever that may impact driving abilities, as well as the fine motor skills. But the unique thing with marijuana is it impacts someone's ability to judge space. So following distance becomes, there's poor judgment related to proper following distance. There's also poor judgment about lane changes. And maybe the scariest thing about, you know, you have some issue with people who are inebriated with alcohol, thinking that they're sober enough to drink.
Right.
But it's far more pervasive with persons who have used marijuana, not believing that it's affecting their ability to drive. So persons who, you know, significant intoxication of marijuana simply don't think it's impaired their ability to drive and are much more likely to get behind a wheel than sometimes even someone who's been drinking and driving, who, where we have, you know, we've done some work to, you know, to talk about, you know, sober drivers and you know, have a plan, you know, if you're going to go out and drink. That's not been the case with marijuana.
And I guess the difference would be between someone who's had too much alcohol versus someone who has smoked a couple of joints. It's a matter of the alcohol impacts the physical as well as the motor skills, and marijuana just really impacts the motor skills, but physically you could walk the straight line for all intents and purposes.
Correct.
I referenced the Fairleigh Dickinson University Public Mind poll at the beginning, and one of the demographic breakdowns of who supports legalization of marijuana in New Jersey is whether or not they've tried it. 42% said they've tried it. More men than women, 45% to 38%. Whites than non-whites, which, not to sound trying to place people in certain slots in the puzzle, but that stat might surprise people. But when it comes to detox, a lot of people say that marijuana is a gateway to worse things. Is there a point where someone is in need of detox from simply the marijuana?
Well, I can tell you that insurers certainly are not paying for anyone to detox from marijuana. But what I would say is that doesn't mean it isn't difficult for people to stop using it. People who are chronic users, heavy users, do report, and again, your listeners can go to the National Institute on Drug Abuse website, and they do report withdrawal symptoms such as irritability, anxiety, insomnia, appetite disturbance, even depression. And we also know that we're seeing increases in the number of persons who are being admitted to drug and alcohol rehab centers who are reporting that they need help stopping the use of marijuana, which is different than detox environment where medically there's a medical risk of stopping use. It's really that an issue of a person's capacity to stop using on their own, that compulsion to use the research is showing it's increasingly difficult for people to stop using on their own, and they're having to go into treatment centers to get assistance. You know, we know that the marijuana of today is 4 to 5 times stronger than the marijuana of the 60s and 70s. The THC levels are that much higher, and that's bringing along some risk of addiction to it and some of these withdrawal symptoms that are associated with chronic, longer-term, heavy users.
Darwin Kent Runyon, who is the director of Nova's Medical Detox, novasdetox.com on the web, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. One of the ideas that we have here in the state, Governor Christie is a proponent and is really already put into play. If someone is convicted of a nonviolent drug crime, instead of going to jail, they go to rehab or detox, whatever you prefer to call it. If the person doesn't want to clean up and clean out, is that still going to be an effective path for them to take? Or can they, you know, human beings what they are, just go through the motions, go through the program, get out and go back into their bad ways again?
That's it. The challenge with human behavior and mental health is there is no one-size-fits-all. There's exceptions to every rule. And we talk a lot, the stages of change where there's people who are pre-contemplative. They don't even realize that they have a problem. Then there's contemplative where they start realizing they have a problem, and there's an action phase. So there's different phases. So I guess my response to your question would be it's never going to hurt for someone to be in rehab because it might move them down that stage of change, and at least start for them to start recognizing, okay, wow, yeah, I have to admit, I probably do have a problem. If they came in not thinking they did, where I do align with a lot of people who want to legalize is that we've overcriminalized drug use in our country. It's been a failed attempt. You know, we throw a lot of money at it. We throw a lot of law enforcement at it, and I can tell you, I deal with a lot of folks who want to quit and can't. It's a tough thing. You know, we deal with methadone. People want to detox and get off of methadone. People want to get off of heroin, prescription drugs, so treatment is the answer. And at whatever stage, I think there's strategies that can help people hopefully make progress.
When you look at the ages, and I guess it's common to say that the concept of the gateway drug, marijuana as a gateway drug, is going to be something for the younger ages, and this might surprise people, the kids as early as middle school have professed to at least try marijuana, and one of the consequences, one of the results of marijuana use is poor test scores, educational outcomes, even school attendance. You know, sort of like everything that was turned blind eye to regarding prescription drugs, seems the same thing's happening, by my observations at least, with marijuana use by school-age kids. The administrators, teachers look at things more analytical as far as, well, maybe it's the tests, maybe little Johnny just has problems understanding. They move him around to maybe even special ed classes, whatever the case may be. But if they dare to mention, well, let's test little Johnny to see if he's taking anything, well, that's when mom and dad threatens to sue the school system.
Well, yeah, this whole area is a tremendous concern. You know, for the most part, our public school systems, you know, who do we test? We test the kids who are in extracurricular activities and sports who are the least likely to be abusing drugs, whereas the kids are most at risk don't tend to get tested. And research is clear. You know, children who engage in marijuana use, it definitely impacts IQ. It definitely impacts school performance. And long-term effects are even scarier. That earlier children start use of marijuana, whether it's that addictive behavior or it's that changes in the brain chemistry, makes a much higher risk to have drug addiction issues later in life. This whole topic of children and youth and their perceptions about marijuana and its availability to them is probably the thing that scares me the most.
Wrapping up our time with Kent Runyon, director of Nova's Medical Detox, novasdetox.com on the web, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. So when you look at, I guess, the two biggest occupants of the other side of the seesaw is the fact that there is legitimate medical benefit to a controlled application of the chemicals in marijuana, and nevertheless, there are the proponents of legalizing marijuana overall who are saying, let's legalize it, let's tax it, and boy, the states will just make a whole bunch of money. We can cut people's taxes. That's a lot to go against an idea of, well, you might be in need of medical help and of rehabilitation to save your life.
Yeah, I'm not in a position to. I'm not a medical scientist, so I'm not here to argue the medicinal advantages or disadvantages of marijuana. I do know, based on my research, and that there certainly are a medicinal form of marijuana is available, and it certainly doesn't have to be in a form where it's smoked. It would be my strongest contention about the medicinal values of it is, one, I think it deserves additional research, and when it is appropriate in a medical format, that it should be delivered in a medicinal form, and smoking marijuana isn't necessarily the best or most appropriate way to administer it medically. So I understand that argument, and certainly there may be value there medically, but to make the contention that therefore it should be available on a broad scale to be smoked, I think that's a weaker argument, and the one that carries a lot of baggage along with it for our society.
Just seems like, just to wrap things up here, how the more excuses, more time that's spent making excuses or changing the reality into a wish and a fantasy just creates the greater risk that marijuana users and what that leads them to just get deeper and deeper into the danger zone. That's why, as an observer of someone who is going through some troubled times, and if you think they are doing something to themselves that is certainly not beneficial, I always say it's better to inquire and to investigate and be wrong rather than to do nothing and wish you did. And certainly with all the rehabilitation programs and detox and the various levels, some of them even supplied for free by community organizations, there are always outlets that can turn people who are going the wrong direction over to the right direction. And among the best nationally, too, is Nova's Medical Detox. You'll learn more about their services, their work, the information they make available through their website, novasdetox.com. We've been joined this morning by the director, Kent Runyon. Kent, thanks so much for just really helping understand the reality of what people try to make others think is something casual. And thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you for having me.